You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Eric Dyan. Once again, welcome to Covesta Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future. Once again, we are with Kimberly Klaus, Advisory Board Chair and Chief Client Advocate at Covesta, a registered investment advisor and online marketplace for investing. Kimberly, always a privilege to have you part of Covesta Radio.
Oh, thank you, Eric. I'm delighted to be here as always.
Now, today we're talking about one of life's most significant money milestones, having a baby. Let's start off discussing that.
So getting married, starting a family, changing jobs, you know, these are all money milestones. And that's the term that I use for exciting life events that will likely have a major impact on your financial situation. These milestones should trigger a comprehensive review of your finances and possibly changing some of your strategies. One of the most expensive milestones is having a baby. So middle-income families with a child born in 2012, you know, most recent data, can expect to spend over $240,000 over 17 years, according to a recent report by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
And I don't know if I should just pick myself off the floor, up off the floor, $240,000 per child. So how does one plan for this milestone?
Well, everybody's situation is different, of course, but there are a few do's and don'ts that broadly apply. So today I'm going to discuss three do's and three don'ts.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and touch on the three do's, and then we'll break it down on the other side.
Okay, so in summary, the three do's, do add your baby to your health insurance coverage, do update your will and name your guardians, and do review your life insurance coverage. So let me go into each of those in a little more detail. So adding your baby to your health insurance coverage. So notify your insurance provider as soon as practical about your new addition. So many health insurance companies require that you notify them within 31 days of your child's birth, and they'll make your baby's insurance coverage retroactive back to their birthday. Don't assume that your insurance company knows about your baby because you've submitted, you know, pregnancy-related doctor and hospital bills. And here's the thing to keep in mind. Failure to notify your insurance provider can leave you financially responsible for all baby-related medical expenses until your company's next open enrollment period, right? And those open enrollment periods generally happen just once a year. You're also going to want to confirm that you've chosen the best medical coverage for your growing family, but before doing that, just, you know, add your baby to your existing coverage. It's really important. Secondly, updating your will and naming your guardians. This is a tough one to think about, but every parent should have a legally valid and up-to-date will, regardless of how much money you have. So in a number of states, a will is the only legal means for naming who you want to serve as guardian for your minor child in case you die. And the probate court has the final approval of guardians, but unless there's a compelling reason not to follow the parent's instructions as outlined in the will, you know, the probate court will typically follow those. It's very tough to think about what would happen to your child, you know, should something happen to you, but it's absolutely critical. But a lot of people just don't do it. There was a BabyTalk.com poll, and only 2% of expectant moms who responded to the survey had written a will. That brings me to the third do, which is do review your life insurance coverage. So the primary purpose of life insurance is to make sure that those you leave behind have enough money after you or your spouse dies. So having a child will certainly affect the amount and type of life insurance that your family needs.
Today we are with Kimberly Klaus, Advisory Board Chair and Chief Client Advocate at Covesta, a registered investment advisor and online marketplace for investing on Covesta Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Kimberly, now let's talk about the three things that expectant parents should not do.
Okay, so these are the three don'ts. So don't forget to review and update your beneficiaries. Don't wait until the baby is born to get life insurance. And don't expect that you're going to have the same amount of financial control that you did pre-parenthood. Now, double-clicking on these, if you will, going into more detail. So retirement assets are paid to the beneficiaries you've designated on your account documents, not those people who are mentioned in your will. So be sure that your beneficiary designations reflect your intentions, which, you know, for most parents change after the birth of a child. So it makes sense to consult an estate planning attorney about the most appropriate beneficiary designations, again, because each situation is different. But you want to be sure that these designations reflect your current wishes. Secondly, don't wait until the baby is born to get life insurance. And I often advise expectant mothers to get life insurance when they're early in the pregnancy. Sometimes pregnancies can be complicated, and it might make it harder for an expectant mother to get coverage. And on a related note, parents who don't work outside the home for income should also get life insurance, because if something were to happen to them, then chances are that the surviving spouse, you know, the person who is working for income, would have to scale back his or her work obligations to take care of the child. And then lastly, you know, you just don't have the same amount of financial control as you did pre-parenthood. I mean, there's so many financial unknowns. You know, some people say I could tolerate my job before I had a child, but now the opportunity cost is too high. You might have a child with special needs. You might have a child with a special interest that's really expensive, you know, horseback riding, ice hockey. All of these things fall into the unknown category, and they are things that can have a pretty significant financial impact.
Certainly. And in conclusion, any closing thoughts or a final tip on today's topic?
Well, in my opinion, you know, being the mother of two, the key thing here is to do as much as you can before the baby arrives. A lot of people, you know, myself included, thought that, you know, I would use my maternity leave to take care of some financial planning tasks, you know, such as I said, revising the will, updating beneficiaries. In reality, like just remembering to put your wallet in the diaper bag is a major financial planning accomplishment when you have a newborn. So I encourage expectant parents to start planning as early as is practical.
Kim, as always, great information. Thanks so much for joining us once again here on Covestor Radio.
Oh, thank you, Eric.
We've been speaking with Kimberly Klaus, Advisory Board Chair and Chief Client Advocate at Covestor, a registered investment advisor and online marketplace for investing. We do thank you for joining this episode of Covestor Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future. And for more information, simply visit Covestor.com. Join us next time for another episode of Covestor Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. And this has been Eric Dye.
This is the ePodcast Network.